Hit up your farm stands.
Yeah, and make sure it's... Sometimes farm stands, what they'll do, they'll go to big, large farmers markets and buy stuff that's from other countries. So just, you know, if you really want to...
Local farm stands, like, yeah, if you can, if you know that, like, they locally grow.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I worked at a farm stand that a lot of the things that they grew supplied what... I mean, I had to plant the frickin' suckers, and I had to pick them, so yeah. I knew that they were fresh.
They were local.
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thank you for stopping by and checking out a special Memorial Day edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. We are glad you guys listen each week. We really appreciate all the rating and review you guys are giving us. If you haven't done so already, give us one in the iTunes store, and please share the podcast with a friend. So, people are probably out enjoying Memorial Day right now.
I would guess, yeah.
Yeah.
They're probably, like, we understand if you're listening to this on, like, Tuesday or Wednesday this week because, let's be honest, you should be out grilling or having a cold one by the pool.
Exactly. That's okay. We'll let it slide this time. Just make sure you listen on Tuesday or Wednesday.
Have a cold one for me.
Yes. Yes. Shannon is, we're coming up on week 23
of the pregnancy. Yeah, well, actually... It'll be...
Oh, by the time this goes live.
We will, yeah, we will be 23. We'll be like 6 months, basically.
6 months, wow. We are third trimester, right?
Isn't that what it is? No.
Oh, we got to wait till we get into seventh month?
Yeah.
Oh, whatever, sorry.
I think so.
Yeah, because 7, 8. Okay, sorry. Bad math on my part, I apologize. But yes, we're actually going to get into it in our training recap. We're going to talk about some pregnancy specifics up because you just made a new purchase.
Oh my gosh. This is not going to mean probably much to people who haven't had to do something like this. But if you've had like either a drastic weight loss or a drastic or rapid weight gain or size change, pregnancy, I don't know. There's lots of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Your clothes fitting appropriately is really important, and it affects how you feel as a person, as a human being. I thought I could get away with my stretchy yoga and activewear forever. Like, I thought, like, oh yeah, if I gain some weight during pregnancy, it's totally fine. I'm just going to wear those and roll them down. Not the case. It is a hard lesson to learn. But you actually need maternity, like, as a pregnant person, you need maternity.
Fitness wear.
Interesting. And it's the one thing that I really was like, as soon as I realized I needed it, I went out and got it. Like, I've been super hesitant to buy other maternity clothes because, I mean, it's what, 4 more months, 5 mm-hmm. more months, so... I bit the bullet.
Yeah.
And oh my God, I'm so glad I did. It feels so good. I'm actually wearing them right now because I got them in the mail today and I was like, oh, I just want to see. I just hope they fit. They fit amazing. Yeah. They feel so good.
She has yet to take them off.
I have not taken them off since I put them on and I'm so happy. So make sure your fitness wear fits no matter your life progress because oh my gosh, it makes a big difference. Like, I can't wait to get back on the bike tomorrow, and I've actually been like sort of dreading it the last week and a half to 2 weeks because it's gotten so uncomfortable, like really uncomfortable. I had to wear shorts this morning on the bike because none of my pants fit.
That's what I normally wear. Compression shorts, and then I have my...
These were not compression shorts. They're just regular shorts.
My padded underwear, my special underwear.
Your booty buffers?
Yeah, the ones with the...
extra little cushion.
The padding for that area between that... The one area and the other area.
I find them more uncomfortable than the regular.
This is going to sound weird, and this is not me trying to gloat. They like wore out, like the padded area is worn out, and the elastic on the waist is worn out too.
Booty buffer.
Yeah. So if anybody knows about like bike pants, you know, the padded bike pants, you know, you guys might know what I'm talking about. So I've had them for a while though, so I think it's time to invest in a new pair. So
yeah.
But yeah, that was with our training recap for the week. fitness apparel is what we talked about. I wonder if Fabletics has got a, do they have any pregnancy fitness wear?
I love their regular pants, but they were actually the first ones that I couldn't wear when I started to get uncomfortable because they're like not as stretchy. Like Lululemon is a little bit stretchier, is a little bit more give. I feel like Fabletics is not probably best fit for maternity. I didn't see any maternity on their site.
Kate Hudson, she's got to get on that, right?
I know. Hudson's the one that's the face. But so, and I also would say their prices are really good, but it's also, they're not like cheap.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're much more reasonable than like a Lululemon or someone like that or Lorna Jane, but yeah, I would still go for something a little less expensive because you're probably not going to be wearing your maternity ones as long.
True. Yeah. All right. Well, that's been the fitness maternity wear update for this week.
Making sure you have clothes that fit your exercise because it makes all the difference in the world.
Mm-hmm. All right. So another update, which we kind of teased the last couple of weeks, was my recent trip to the doctor.
Yes.
And I got my results back and mostly everything was good. But one thing which I kind of knew going in might be an issue was my cholesterol.
So how did you know that this was going to be an issue? Because you've been like a really dedicated meat and fat eater.
Uh-huh.
And did you know that you had like, was there like some kind of history in your family?
Yes.
Or, okay.
That was the main thing was that, you know, my father's been dealing with cholesterol and his father before him and all that. We seem to be, and we talked about this with my doctor, a hereditary issue.
Oh.
So I think that's already had predisposed, and then with my diet, the way I eat, you know, even, you know, I'm high, mostly fat-fueled, but that also means a lot of animal protein, and then there is issues with less than, I would say, very not high-quality animal protein sources may cause inflammation, and this is coming from some research that I've gathered, and then what also I heard from the doctor. So he actually recommended that I change up a couple of my protein and fat sources. Or protein sources that also contain fat, I should say. So like beef and pork, mass-produced beef and pork, that could, you know, the fat in there can contain some inflammatory items, which we've talked about before. You know, we talked about it almost, you know, with our episode with Carlin, talking about, you know, the benefits of grass-fed and pasture-raised items, which is all, you know, I'm a huge fan of that, but I'll admit that we don't always buy it. You know, we try to buy organic or grass-fed, but even, you know, mass-produced grass-fed stuff, we've discussed how the label doesn't mean much, you know, unless you know the person you're buying it from is kind of the most you can know. So I got the advice from him because, and I'm glad I went to this doctor because I think, and he even mentioned it, that any other doctor with my readings would put me or prescribe a statin for me, a cholesterol drug, essentially, prescription. Because my LDL, which is what they consider the bad cholesterol, even though we're learning more information about that, it was very high, you know, higher than recommended. So, it was, he said, you know, I don't want you to stop eating fat because I think that's very important. He's like, you just got to change up your sources, so your protein sources. So he recommended actually lamb and sheep. And
more like smaller animals, too.
Stuff that's less mass-produced.
Yeah.
And then also that mainly are still on a primarily grass diet. And then he also talked about small fish, sardines, mackerel, anchovies.
Yep.
He mentioned that.
Yum.
So, yep. Because, and you know, with the fish too, we have to worry about the inflammatory stuff that's in fish is, you know, like heavy metals.
Yes.
You know, with the, you know, the predatory fish are much higher in mercury than the smaller fish. So that's been fun. I've been eating my sardines, and I actually just picked up a little thing of smoked mackerel from Trader Joe's.
It looked pretty good. I saw it in the fridge, and I was kind of surprised, actually. It looked decent.
Yeah, it's good. You know, any smoked fish is pretty good. Hopefully, I got to check with the doctor to see if the smoking process does anything negative to it. But
yeah.
It was pretty good. You know, I was worried because I've never had mackerel before, I don't think. So I had that, and it was good. It tastes like smoked fish, kind of like smoked salmon, just a little bit different consistency.
Yeah, you do. Put it in, make it into a dip.
Yep.
And then it's smoked fish dip. It's yep. good.
Yeah, when I had the sardines. The sardines are not smoked. They're just canned, and they are they're tough to eat. So if I can throw them in a salad with some avocado and some vinaigrette, it's usually easier to get down. So, but that's what I'm trying to change up. You know, as you can see, there's no more meat sticks on our grocery list. You know, pepperoni sticks and... you know, the beef burgers are going to probably be turkey burgers, I think, which you don't have a problem
or
with.
Or veggie burger.
Yeah, you talked about
I have some killer veggie burger recipes.
What was that recipe? Because we were talking about stuff for Memorial Day, which is...
Yes.
You guys, if you're listening to it, as this is being released on Memorial Day, but you were
yes.
talking about...
Yes, we'll be making up... It's a plant protein... it looks just like the ground beef. You can get it at your grocery store. I think it's a soy. It's a soy product. But you basically combine that with like some sage and some herbs and things like that. This is a totally vegan burger.
Uh-huh.
And then you can make it not vegan. You can just make it vegetarian. You can add, I like to add some boursin cheese.
Yep.
And some apple slices mm-hmm. with some spinach. Now, that may sound crazy to you, but it's so delicious. And these burgers, you actually do cook in like the skillet on the stove, and they come out so flavorful, like as a savory. And then you've got like that sweetness kind of crisp of the apple. And mm-hmm. then you've got the creaminess of the cheese. It's one of the best burgers that I've ever eaten.
Yeah.
And it's plant-based.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I don't
you've
know.
You've had it. You
yeah.
Really
I've
liked
had
it too.
I have had it. I wonder if maybe, cause I know they've made some different options for the ground, basically the non meat ground meat.
Yeah.
So I wonder if they have a mushroom. Like, because I know they made some mushroom options out of it, right? I don't know if it's all soy now. There might be, or pea.
Yeah, I'm
pea
not
protein
sure.
Too.
We can experiment, but yeah, it's the good thing about the good thing about us is that we've really tried to a lot of different options, including plant based,
yep.
and you've been good about trying them too.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I don't think it's a hard departure to leave the red meat. You know,
yeah.
some of those more processed red meats and things kind of to the wayside
right.
because we have a load of other options. So
yep.
maybe we'll be sharing that recipe with you all coming up soon, maybe in one of your blogs or
yeah.
maybe I'll put a blog together and do it.
Well, yeah. Yeah. I know you want to get back to blogging so you can do that.
Yeah.
But another one thing that the doctor recommended was game meat too. Which
Go
you guys
figure.
Know, I love that. So I got a couple packets of ground venison still in the fridge. And I think my parents, I already put the word into my parents who will be coming down soon. See if they can bring me some more gamed goodies from the
Super.
Birch Farm. So I know you love that. So
can't wait for that smell to fill up our house.
Oh, I'll cook it when you're not here.
Thanks,
so don't
honey.
Worry, honey.
Thanks.
So that's my update. Like I said, every other of all, pretty much all the other readings from the my blood getting taken, all the other numbers were good. Vitamin D was low, so I'm going to go back on a vitamin D supplement, which I was on for a little while. I just took off for a little while, but now since I got those numbers, I'm going to go back on it since I know for sure that I kind of need it.
Yeah, and we've talked in a previous podcast, which we'll link to in the show notes, about the benefits of vitamin D and
yeah.
actually how common that is as a deficiency. I mean, we live in sunny Florida.
Mm-hmm.
You are outside frequently, and you're vitamin D deficient.
Yep, and I think that just shows that how hard it is to get through, you know, absorbing it through your skin and or through your dietary meats.
Yeah.
So I think supplementing with that is important, so I'm going on that. And also, the doctor recommended some, I wouldn't say they're natural or... I guess they are kind of natural prescriptions for the cholesterol, red yeast...
Oh.
Red yeast pills. Actually, it's funny
I've
because my
that.
my dad is using that now too because he's not going back on statins. So,
well, he had an adverse reaction to them too.
To the medication, yeah. So he's going away from that. He's doing diet and exercise and taking this red yeast pills. So I'm going to investigate those, maybe invest in them, see, since the doctor recommended that. And, I really liked his reaction because, like you said, like we've talked about and I've heard other people talk about, you know, if any other doctor would have saw those numbers, they probably would have
prescribed a pill.
Yeah, exactly. So this doctor is willing to work. willing to work with me with the type of style I want to maintain, which is, you know, the more curated with diet and exercise, and or natural supplements. I'm glad I chose and found this doctor. You know, function medicine practitioner, certified functional medicine practitioner. I'm really pleased that I went and sought him out.
That's great.
So, yeah, so we'll keep you updated with any further information or the updates as they come. So, the main thing we wanted to talk about in this week's episode, you actually brought up, which I thought was a great idea, was the seasonal produce.
Yes, because Memorial Day, pretty much I feel like everywhere, is the unofficial start of summer. So it's the day when, you know, all the people up north, typically the weather... Usually the weather is starting to be really nice out. You're kicking out all of the tarps off the barbecue and the boats, and you're planning to spend your entire holiday weekend outside. And it's just like that first weekend where it just feels like summer. And what also comes with that pretty much across the board is good fresh food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're actually starting to see local and seasonal produce show up maybe a little bit closer to your home.
Yeah.
And today we want to basically talk about why that is a good thing and how you can kind of think about your seasonal foods, because we're going to talk about why.
Yeah.
First off, I think.
It's super beneficial to eat seasonally. There's several different reasons. We actually found a little list on Feeding America's website, specifically feedingsouthflorida.org. And these are kind of general ideas, but then they apply to every different region, not just South Florida. So they said you're eating seasonally or eating seasonal produce is being more kind to the environment, which is true. You know, if there's less demand on items that are out of season, that helps the farmers out, and it helps, you know, keep the one of the worst thing is just constant, crop overturn.
Yes.
You know, really driving or draining all the soil of its nutrients and not rotating crops properly, you know. And I think that's a big issue we've talked about before in as far as agriculture is facing in the United States. So you're being kinder to the environment when you eat seasonal products.
Well, you're also cutting down. If you're eating seasonal, you're not having to go outside farther away for your produce, which is cutting drastically on the transportation, which is emissions and all those additional things that hurt the environment.
Yeah, so that was. I think they kind of lead into that. And with that transportation, they talk about this in another point here, is you lose nutrients. Once it gets taken off the vine, and a lot of times what they'll do, they'll pick them before they're even ripe.
Yeah.
So they, you know, they either spoil or they're still unripe. And once they get to the supermarket, and they didn't reach their full nutrition potential, essentially.
Yeah.
So that's an issue when you don't eat seasonally, or when you eat seasonally, you can avoid stuff like that.
Yeah.
All right, and the other ones, I think we just kind of hit those first two ones about being kind to the environment in different ways as far as emissions and for the farming practices.
Yep.
Is that it's easier on your wallet. You guys know, buying stuff out of season is going to be more expensive. You know, once you see here in Florida, we have the Florida avocado, the green avocados, and then the Haas avocado, which everybody sees, you know, comes from Mexico. I think they grow some in California now, too, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think they do.
And, but, you know, you get a big Florida avocado, a big green avocado, it's about the size of your hand, it's a big softball, and then the Haas is a little bit smaller. but they're when they're in season, they're about the same price at the grocery store. So, I mean, that's just an option. That's just one example of many that you'll see, and I'm sure up in North in New England when apples are in season, they're much cheaper than when you're out of season.
When it's in season time and you've got farms that you can actually do like the pick your own, typically you see people buying in bulk because it is a lot more cost effective to go and stock up and then pop those suckers in your freezer because they taste better, they are better, and they're so much cheaper.
Right.
And I mean, how much you pay for out of season, like especially fruit?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, if it's like Shannon already mentioned, you got to pay for the transportation too, essentially, yeah, when you're buying stuff. Yeah, when you're buying a pineapple in fall or winter, you know, it's got to come from Hawaii, essentially, you know, or some other tropical location. It's going to be a price hike. But you were talking about something else, too, was the, especially here in Florida, is the blueberry. Or maybe it's national, not
Yeah, just so, I mean, I think that farming has gotten a lot more sophisticated in the United States, and knowing the seasonal produce and kind of where in the country the seasons are is actually a really helpful thing to know as well. So being from New England, you don't really get any fresh produce in the winter months and the spring months. It's summer and fall that the bulk of your produce comes in, but it's just like it floods. It's wonderful. However, here in Florida, it's a totally different thing because your tomatoes ripen in freaking December or something crazy like that. But then you have your berry seasons, which actually here start in, like, February. Our Florida strawberries start in, like, February. They go, I think, until early April. And then it's blueberry season, which I didn't know until this year was actually a thing. And I read a whole article that was about how Florida blueberry companies farmers specifically they capitalized on a hole in the blueberry market because even outside the United States, you're getting blueberries from all over the country. Blueberries are one of those things that people want all year. But Florida's season is right. They've basically scientifically figured out when they can get them to grow and created the optimal conditions and the optimal types of blueberries to grow in Florida during that little hole, which I think is like, I think it starts in March and it goes through April a little bit into May or something. But it gives Florida farmers an advantage because literally there's like nowhere else in the world that's really aggressively growing them. Yeah. I think other countries are looking to fill the hole, but here in the United States, you can get great berries from all over. You get, it's Florida, and then the strawberries go to California, and then you start getting your California strawberries for maybe, like, the months of, what is it, like, April.
Yeah, they're going strong right now. Yeah. You can see they're even on sale at, like, the grocery store.
Yeah.
The organic ones, too.
And you can get, yeah, like, the organic. And then it goes up north, because it's July, August usually for strawberries, and it's usually July, August around that time frame for blueberries as well. And so it travels around the country and kind of knowing what those seasons are, because apples are another one I think that we even read somewhere. They're just available all year long, but a lot of them are from outside of the country.
Oh, really?
A lot of them, I think. But they do grow them, like, in Washington State and, I mean, probably California, places like that.
I guess it's going to be somewhat of a northern latitude.
I think
so. Do they need a little bit of cold, I'm imagining?
I think so, because they're a fall crop
right. In
New England. So I think they kind of need a little bit more of a temperate sort of climate. Yeah, they're available all year long, and trying to find the ones that are not from overseas or really far away, it is a little bit challenging. So keeping an eye on where your produce is coming from, I know we've talked about, like, the organic is always good, but even just knowing the seasons and where it's coming from in the country is a good thing, because you're not going to be able to get organic fruit from anywhere outside the United States. You're going to need to...
pretty exclusive to the United States.
Yeah, you're going to need to keep it.
I shouldn't say it is exclusive, but I know. I imagine it's pretty exclusive to the United States.
Yeah, Canada. I don't really see produce, organic produce, coming from anywhere else. If anybody knows the rules on organic, like, because, I mean, USDA is United States certification.
Yeah, they might have some in Mexico, like maybe companies from the U.S., or have bases in Mexico, or farms in Mexico.
Yeah.
Bases. Have farms in Mexico and send the stuff over here. But yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah, the standards of the USDA
coffee
organic.
Probably is one of the big ones too.
Yeah.
But
yeah, that's something we'll investigate
just
for
trying,
a future episode.
Yeah, just trying to like emphasize it really does help to know what's in season. So we actually went and found some kind of just seasonal item since a lot of us are going to have full-on access. You know, it's not just us in Florida who are going to have access to fresh fruits and vegetables. Pretty much the whole country is falling into season. Those late spring, early summer. I mean, oh, it's such a good time for fruits and vegetables. I got so many good memories of hitting up the old farm stands.
Yeah, we checked out, actually, speaking of the USDA, this is the USDA's Seasonal Produce Guide. All right, this was last updated earlier this year, and they basically break it down by season. Okay, so we'll just go with, we're pretty much right in between spring and summer. We're not in summer yet, are we?
It's not officially summer until the end of June.
All right, so we'll go into spring. Let's see some items that are probably exclusively for the spring. As far as fruit go, well, actually, it's going to be hard to know if this is a fruit or vegetable. We'll just say produce. Apricots or apricots, depends
fruit.
How
this could be a fun game.
Yeah, test if this is a fruit or vegetable. Avocados.
Vegetable. No, fruit. That is a fruit.
Yes, you're right. Duh. Carrots.
Vegetable.
Pineapple.
Fruit.
Mm-hmm. strawberries, as we already talked about.
Yum.
Swiss chard.
Oh, getting into the big leafy greens.
Mm-hmm. That's just a couple. We're just going to do a couple from each season. Now we'll go into summer.
So good.
Blueberries were on the summer list.
Up north, northern climates.
Oh my gosh. You're going to flip when you hear this. Cantaloupe/musk melons.
Oh.
Is that another word for cantaloupe?
I think musk melons are like honeydew and like those types. I think. I'm not positive, but they're...
Reaffirm your hatred for the foot melon, as you
like to call cantaloupes foot melons, because that's what I think they taste like.
But yeah, I think melons, obviously melons, watermelons in season in the summer. We've been getting a lot of good watermelons as of late. Corn's coming around. Everybody knows fresh corn on the cob this for summer.
Usually late summer is the best corn.
Mm-hmm. They also have nectarines, okra.
Peaches
is in the summer. Wow, that was the next one I was actually going to say. Summer squash and zucchini, naturally. And they also have tomatoes on the summer list.
I think one of the spring ones that you start seeing pop up everywhere is like asparagus.
Survey says asparagus for spring. Wow, you just want to guess the seasonal vegetables?
I used to work at a farm stand. Like, yeah. I've always been really interested in like seasonal produce.
Right.
But yeah, I think asparagus and some kinds of peas or some like our early
squashes,
early
peas,
summer, late
gourds,
spring.
Yeah, gourds are in the fall. All right,
and then fall is the best.
All right, we're in the fall now. I'll say I know this is one of your favorites is apples.
Yes,
but it's actually an all four season according to these.
Yeah, it is.
I think obviously there's a lot talk about. We won't get into the GMO discussion, but the reason why there's so many gosh darn apples is because of the thanks to GMO.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure everybody's going to love me saying that. Anyways, let's see what else they got. Fall, they have beets.
Pumpkin.
Pumpkins, yes, naturally.
I get so excited for
cauliflower. What else they got? Grapes. They have grapes on here. Green beans are in the fall. Kale's in the fall. I know usually my dad got those, plants them in the fall, and gets them in the winter for kale.
Yeah.
A lot of like collard greens and mustard greens do that too, especially up in the northern latitudes. All right, let's see what else they got on the fall list.
Oh, and lettuces are also a summer for those up north, you can get really good fresh lettuce in the summer, and it's like the only time of year you can get fresh lettuce.
Let's see what they got. All right, let me see what else. Potatoes in the fall, sweet potatoes and yams, winter squash in the fall, which is odd.
Well, some winter squashes, yeah, like butternut squash, kind of, yeah, goes into winter.
All right, last but not least, the winter. Some other ones, bananas, which is interesting. That must be just in the real tropical, subtropical
bananas areas. And citrus, actually, yeah, are both winter.
Yeah, okay. Brussels sprouts, citrus, lemons, like you said, are on this.
Pomegranates, you.
Let me see.
Root vegetables usually too. I don't
see pomegranates on here. And
pomegranates are
pears for the winter. That's
why they're always in Christmas photos pears? And stuff.
Yeah.
No, pomegranates.
I don't see pomegranates. Anyways,
they're missing something. I think pomegranates are available.
Like you said, everywhere. Yeah, they had lemons and oranges for the winter, so you were right on about the citrus. Grapefruits in there too. Goodness.
My grandparents used to send us
cabbage,
like, giant boxes of grapefruit for Christmas.
Yep. So those are just a little sample of stuff. This is on the USDA. We'll put the link up there. But you guys know they usually advertise it pretty well at grocery stores or go to a farmer's market and get it from
local. Hit up your farm stands.
Yeah, and make sure it's. Sometimes farm stands, what they'll do, they'll go to big, large farmers markets and buy stuff that's from other countries. So just, you know, if you really want to...
Local farm stands, like, yeah, if you know that, like, they locally grow.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I worked at a farm stand that a lot of the things that they grew supplied what... I mean, I had to plant the frickin' suckers, and I had to pick them, so yeah. I knew that they were fresh.
They were local.
But they, I mean, yeah, everybody goes to the big farmers markets because they all sell off their extras. So yep. They do get other stuff too.
Yep. So I'm sure there might be a little like database you can put in your zip code or something and you see what produce is fresh in what season. So I'll do a little investigation. Maybe we'll put it in the show notes so we can find it.
Yeah, it's totally worthwhile though. And if you've ever just kind of been like lukewarm on vegetables and especially vegetables, go to like a farm stand when you're driving around this spring, summer, and just give like that super local seasonal vegetables a chance, because you will be shocked at how much better they taste. And like peas, especially, I used to eat peas like candy. My dad and I would just like buy like a whole big bag and we'd eat the whole bag just driving around. Mm-hmm. That was like our summer candy.
I remember having to pick radishes, not radishes, excuse me, beets one year. And then we had to clean and cut them to prepare them.
That sounds like a bitch.
It looked like a murder scene because everything stained red.
Yeah, I don't know if you necessarily want to go and pick all the stuff yourself. Yeah. Like, avoid picking raspberries at all costs because it's a horrible thing to pick. Raspberries and tomatoes are not kind to you at all. Have someone else pick those.
Yeah.
But strawberries and blueberries, especially blueberries, because you don't have to be like on the ground. Those are actually really fun to pick. Mm-hmm. Yep. I loved that.
But we're like I said, we'll try to find that. Trying to find a little database for you guys to type in your area to see what's local. When we'll put that in the show notes, and all the other stuff we talk about in the podcast will be at the show notes at elementaltampa.com. So please check those out.
Yes.
Also connect with us on social media. All our handles and Facebook page will be in the outro. We really want to talk to you guys. We love interacting. And
yeah, we love getting messages when people do listen to the podcast and then they like message us with feedback. It pretty much just makes my day.
Yeah.
I'm sure it does you too.
No, for sure.
It's amazing.
Yeah, we really appreciate that, guys. And next week we're pretty much slated, I believe, to have another interview coming out.
Yeah.
With I'm going to give it two words, and I'm not going to say any more than that, Coach Fury. So make
that
sure you tune in next week for that.
Intriguing.
Mm-hmm. So you got anything else for him?
I don't think so. Happy Memorial Day.
Yes. Happy
Memorial Day. Hope it was a good one for those that are listening late.
And this has been another episode of the Addicted Fitness Podcast, and we'll check you next time.
Bye.
If you want to learn more about Elemental Training Tampa, check us out on Facebook or go to our website, elementaltampa.com. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter under the handle ETTampa. Please rate and review the podcast. Your feedback will help us get better. Thanks.
Thank you for stopping by and checking out another week's... Oh my goodness. One more time.
What? I don't even know what you did wrong.
Five, four, three, two...